In the 1960s, I was living and working in Brighton. And I was keeping fit by running through the Downs. The Downs are the most wonderful place to run through. I had a favourite place, which was a track which kind of went between the poles of the Downs. I kind of rather think that it was my favourite place because I didn't have to go up and down nearly so much. It was quite challenging. Anyway, this particular day, lovely day. And I was running along sort of very happily, and I ran round a particular corner, and I suddenly stopped in my tracks. All around me, as far as the eye could see, there were white crosses planted in the Downs. I don't mean a few white crosses, and I don't mean hundreds. I don't think I even mean thousands. I mean tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of white crosses stretching as far as the eye could see. Now, I don't know what that would have happened to you, but I know what happened to me. A, I stopped in my tracks, and B, I sort of thought to myself, I think I'm hallucinating. Or perhaps worse than that, perhaps I've had a medical incident, and I'm lying on a track somewhere, dreaming. And then I had another thought, perhaps I've died, perhaps this is what it's like when you get not to the pearly gates, but to the white crosses. And I walked slowly through these white crosses until I got to a bend in the track at the end, and I went round the bend in the track, and it was all normal again. Now, I had no idea what had happened, so I didn't tell anybody. Well, you wouldn't really, because I couldn't explain it. And it was sometime later that I saw the film Oh, What a Lovely War. And in the film Oh, What a Lovely War, the crosses are on the final scenes of that film. And it starts with a soldier in the First World War going through the muddy, destroyed battlefields, himself covered in mud himself, and soul weary, oh, so soul weary. And then it goes up onto the Downs, not where the white crosses are, and there's an old lady and a younger woman and a child. We assume sort of grandma and daughter or daughter-in-law or and grandchild, and they're having a picnic. And then we go back to the battlefield. But this time our soldier is not in his mud-stained battle dress anymore. He's in fresh, smart barrack dress. And soul weariness has gone. He's moving towards a sort of misty light. And then we go back to the picnic. At this particular moment, the little girl gets up, wanders off, and finds some poppies, and she starts picking the poppies. And Mummy comes and joins her. And then from behind them, coming up the hill, you see this soldier in his clean battle dress. And he stands behind them. They don't know he's there. And he looks down on them so lovingly. I think we're meant to assume that that's his wife and that's his daughter. And then he moves round so that he's standing behind the old lady who's still with the picnic blanket. And he stands behind her and he looks down so lovingly. And I think we're meant to assume that's his mother. And then he wanders off into the crosses. And there in the crosses he lies down with lots of other soldiers in their barrack dress. That's the scene at the end of this film. Now, we don't do that so much now, but of course in those days we went to see the film in the cinema, didn't we? And then very often when you come out of the cinema, it's night time, and it's probably just a little bit chilly, and you wander through the streets. But you're carrying with you those images. And those images somehow take even more power from the fact that you've now gone out of that theatrical setting into reality. And my goodness, as I walked away from the theatre, I thought to myself, how obscene. How obscene that human beings could do such things to one another. To make all of this destruction, the destruction of the land, the destruction of people, the destruction of relationships. How obscene that there is a mother who has to go through the rest of her life without her son, or a wife who has to go through her life without her husband, or a daughter that has to go through her life without her son. How obscene. And you suddenly realize that humanity has this potential for sinfulness. Sometimes I find it difficult to use the word sin because we put all sorts of extras on top of it. But in that setting, I have no apology at all. Humanity has the potential for sinfulness. And that sinfulness develops appalling cruelty, appalling destruction. And it can't cure itself. And none of us can cure ourselves. There is only one way that humanity can be cured of this appalling sinfulness, and that is by God's grace. We can't do it with our heads or our actions or anything like that. We have to do it with our hearts. It's not something that we can control. All we can do is to open our hearts and ask for God's grace. God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. God, be merciful unto us, for we are sinners. But then something extraordinary happens. Once God's grace enters into that situation, then all of the things that human beings do to each other that are so appalling can turn into a horizon of hope. All of the destruction of the battlefield can be left behind as we journey towards the light. And so on a day like today, when we remember all that suffering, it's also an invitation. It's an invitation to open our hearts to God's grace and walk from this day forward in the power of God's grace towards peace, towards love, towards hope. Then may God, in his mercy, grant us his grace, and may we walk in that for the rest of us.